Luke 12, verse 20 is the words of our text. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? I want to speak to you for a little while this morning on the theme of the death of a farmer. Frank Marshall was a very famous evangelist in this country in former times. Some of you may remember Frank Marshall, be familiar with his ministry. He was a man whose ministry was greatly used, greatly blessed of God. On one occasion when he was holding a mission, he was going round the area, doing the doors, giving out invitations, seeking to speak to people personally about the things of God. That was a part of his ministry that he always emphasized. While he was going around that area, he saw a farmer working in the field. He walked across the field to speak to the man, spoke to him personally, invited him to come to the gospel mission. The response that he received from the farmer was this. The farmer went mad, and he chased him from the field using the pitchfork that he had in his hand. A few weeks later, when that gospel mission was coming to an end, Mr. Marshall saw the same man in the field again. He had been thinking of the man. He had been on his heart, particularly considering the response the man had given to him. And he decided he would walk across the field just one more time to speak to him and encourage him before the mission closed that he would come along to one of the meetings. As he walked across the field and approached to where the man was, he was amazed to see there was no movement. And what he found was the farmer was dead, leaning on his pitchfork, the very same pitchfork that he had chased him from the field with those few days before. Men and women, that is the story of the tragic death of a farmer. But it's even more than that, because it was the tragic death of an unconverted farmer. The man died knowing not Christ as a Savior. And that, men and women, is the story of this passage and the story particularly of the text that is before us this morning. It's the death of a farmer. And I want you to ponder that carefully with us today. Here's a farmer who is successful in his business. His farm is doing well. Here's a farmer who's prosperous. It's evident from what the Savior tells us about him that he's a man that was making money, making a lot of money. But he dies. And he dies tragically, because he dies without God's salvation. And perhaps, men and women, the same will be true for you, for someone in this meeting. If you're not careful, you will die in an unconverted state as well. There's some important points, some important truths about this farmer's death that I want to emphasize for you just for a few minutes this morning. You'll think first of all of his strength. Isn't it true, men and women, that farmers are men with great physical strength? That was especially true of the former generation of farmers, when there wasn't as much farm machinery to help with all the work going on in the land. In those days when all the work was done manually, all the work had to be done by hand. Some of you here in the meeting remember turning the hay with a fork, bringing in the barley in the bags, scattering the manure in the field with a fork. Maybe you remember the threshing, the binding, bringing the milk out to the end of the lane in the cans, all the other manual work that had to be done. The reality was, it was hard work being a farmer. You had to be strong. Farmers are strong men. And the man that the Savior speaks of here in this passage was a man that was strong physically. For one thing, he was young. You ask us, how do we know that? Well, he said, much goods laid up for many years. Here's a man that was expecting to live for a long time. He had all his life before him, a young man. As well as that, he was healthy. You ask, how do we know that he was a man that was in full health? Well, remember that he was working hard. He's a man that was out in the fields. He's a man that's bringing in the harvest. So the picture that the Savior sets before us here is of a man that's healthy, a man that's strong. Here's a young man in the prime of life, a young man without an ailment. And maybe that's your condition this morning. If it is, it's something you should thank and praise God for. But there's something you need to remember if that's your condition today. Something that you need to take heed to and take note of, and it's this. That's when this man died. When this farmer died. He died in his prime. And what a warning, men and women, that is to us all. Can I stress to you all today, the Bible nowhere promises that you will live to be old. Job says, thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age. Doesn't say an old age. Age at death is different for every person, and the reality is many are not old. We've heard that mentioned by your minister today already. Many are not old when they die. The Bible nowhere promises that you're going to live to old age. You think of Barzillai. He died when he was old, when he was frail. Died when he was 80 years of age. But what a contrast here with the man in this portion. This farmer died when he was young, died when he was strong. He died in the full bloom, the full vigor of life. So I remind you, no guarantee you'll live to be old. And what that means, men and women, is simply this, that you need to be saved. And you need to be saved today. You need to be saved now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You need to be saved while you still can and while there still is opportunity. His strength. I want you to notice as well his substance. The verse 16 of the portion says, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. This farmer was wealthy. He was a man of substance. He had already made a lot of money. And because of the good harvest, and I think we could say without exaggeration, it probably was the best harvest that he had ever known. Because of the harvest that he was now gathering in, his fortune had just increased. So he was a man of substance. And perhaps you're the same. Maybe you own a lot of property. You're worth a lot of money. Can I say to you, there's nothing wrong with that. So long as you got it honestly, and so long as those things are not your God, don't have first place in your life. But if you do have a bit of wealth, and your life is completely taken up with those things, there's a very important question you need to ask yourself, and it's found there at the end of verse 20, the end of our text. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? The question, men and women, is when you die, when you're gone, when you're no longer here, whose shall all of those things be then? Who will have it when you're gone? Who will fight over it when you're no longer here upon this earth? That's a good question. Do you remember the Savior had been asked there in verse 13, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Isn't that interesting? There's an old saying, where there's a will, there's a relative. But isn't it interesting that disputes among families over wills, over inheritances, it's nothing new, men and women. Took place even back in Bible times. Even our Savior, even the Lord Jesus, had to deal with those matters during his earthly ministry. But take time to consider the question, men and women. When you're dead, who will have your wealth then? One thing is absolutely certain, and that is, you won't have it. You remember what the psalmist taught? He saith that wise men die. Likewise, the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. Will you take that in today, men and women? Because that's what's going to happen to you too. You're going to die, and you're going to have to leave your wealth. And you're going to leave it all. And you leave it all to others. Did you know that Alexander the Great, remember, he died at about 32 years of age, a very young man. He conquered the then known world, lamented, "Are there no more worlds, no more kingdoms for me to conquer?" Amassed a great fortune of wealth in a short lifetime. But when he lay in state and people passed by his mortal remains, and when he was carried out to the grave, he lay with his hands on his chest, with his palms outward at his own request. And he wanted everyone to see. There was a message, a clear message in that gesture. He wanted everyone to see that despite all that he had done, all that he had accomplished, all the money and land that he had amassed in his lifetime, that he left this world with nothing. He left this world completely empty-handed. And it'll be absolutely the same for you men and women. You can labor all your life to build up a vast empire that will be worth a fortune. Maybe own and accumulate a lot of land and a lot of property. But I want to remind you, men and women, today, I want to remind you that you'll take none of those things with you. Paul said to young Timothy when he was dealing with the subject of money, "We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain." Here's one of the great certainties of life. Just every bit as certain as the fact that you will die, it is certain we will carry nothing out. You come into this world empty-handed, and you will leave this world in exactly the same way. So you be clear about the fact, men and women. You will take nothing with you when your life is over. Death is a separation. That's a very good biblical definition of what death actually is. Death is the separation of the soul from the body. But it's more than that. Whenever you die, you will be separated from everything in this world that you hold dear. You'll be separated from your wealth, from your riches, from your land, and from your property. And separated from those things forever. You remember the old hymn the Reverend McCrae used to sing at the river? In the Old Testament, the River of Jordan is a very clear and powerful picture of death. And at the river, when you come to die and cross over from this world to the next, at the river you'll leave it all behind. Can I ask you, men and women, with that reality, that solemn reality this morning, not warn you of the need, the great need, your greatest need this day, to be in possession of something that you can never lose? What you need today most of all is Christ and his salvation, his mercy, his forgiveness for all of your sins. In the face of the certainty of death, you need to be born again today of the Spirit of God, his substance. There's a third thing I want you to see, and that is his season. Solomon said, to everything there is a season. There is a time to be born, and there is a time to die. You ponder the question for a moment, when did this farmer die? At what season of the year was he called from this world? And it's clear from the passage it was in the harvest, the season we're thinking of giving thanks for today, the time of ingathering. The harvest, of course, is a very busy time of the year for the farmer. I don't think there's a farmer in the meeting today that would dispute that the harvest is probably the busiest time of all on the farm. And there's a lesson there, men and women. Think of the busiest time of the year. You may be too busy for many things in this life. There might be times that you're too busy to eat. I was talking to a farmer down in the Armagh area just about a month ago. He'd been having a very busy day, got his breakfast in the morning, didn't get another bite until the evening time, worked right through the day. Times you're too busy to eat. Times you're too busy to talk. Times you're too busy to pray. to go to the house of God. If that's the case in your life, you're far too busy. You need to look at those things. Maybe even times you're far too busy for your family, for your wife, your husband, your children. There are many things in this life at times you're far too busy for. But remember this, men and women. You'll never be too busy to die. That's how it was with this farmer. Remember that solemn truth. There was a farmer one time saw the minister getting out of the car. He was calling in on a visit. The minister got out of the car, started to walk down across the yard to where he saw the farmer working. And the farmer stood erect and he shouted up across the yard at the minister, "Don't be coming here today. I'm far too busy to have time to talk to you." The minister wasn't ruffled in the slightest. He just calmly said, "Let me ask you one question." And the question was this. He asked, "If I was death coming down across the yard for you today, would you still say, 'I'm too busy'?" Fact is, men and women, you're never, never too busy to die. Death is no respecter of persons. Death is no respecter of circumstances and situations. Death never takes account of where you are and of what you are doing and how much you have still to do and what plans that you're making. Think of this young man, all that was going on his farm, the plans that he was making, the work in which he was engaged, not only bringing in the harvest, but he was redesigning the farmyard. Death never takes account of how much you're doing or what plans you're making. There are those that have died in church, sitting in the pew, just as you are this morning. Maybe you have known such situations. Some have actually died in the pulpit. Our brother Peter Lund, that plays the organ in Martyrs. Martyrs was my home church, went to the fellowship there. Peter, of course, is a little older than I am. Peter grew up in Belfast. Told us the story of the church that he grew up in. The minister, taking the service one evening, didn't feel so well. Took a couple of steps back, sat down in the seat, and died. Death is no respecter, or takes into account, never takes into account where you are. Comes even to happy family gatherings. Death can visit a wedding. I had a great aunt that died on the day of her granddaughter's wedding. Never too busy, men and women. Never too busy to die. And I want to ask, what of you today? What if you died today? What if you died even in this meeting? What if you died at this harvest, this autumn season? What if the grim reaper? Remember the days of the scythe, and death is sometimes portrayed like that, the grim reaper coming in and cutting down the harvest. What if the grim reaper came now, put in the sickle and cut you down? What then? Or you might argue, that will never happen to me. It's not always our attitude to the events and circumstances that befall others. Happens in other families, but that'll never happen to my family. That'll never happen in my life. Well, remember, this man died suddenly. His death came without warning. His death came unexpectedly. You ever read that in the obituaries, in the paper? So-and-so died suddenly. Will they write that in the paper beside your name this week? His death was a shock. Shock to the whole family. More than that, it was a shock to the whole community. Remember, he was young. The last man they expected to die. He was in the full vigor of life. He was a young man that thought he was going to live for a very long time. Many more harvests. Many more years. But he didn't. In just a few hours later, before the morning dawned, he was dead, he was gone, and his soul was in hell. So I ask you again, men and women, what have you died today? What have you died this autumn, at this harvest time? How would it be with you? You any hope? Any hope for your soul? Any hope as far as eternity is concerned? You think of those words this night. That was a vital night, men and women. It was a night of destiny. For this farmer, it was a night of eternal destiny. This night. Not another night. Not another day. And remember, this day, this night, could be your last, just as it was for this man, your last upon this earth. Jeremiah, I saw the words out in the porch as I came in this morning. We hope to ponder on them a little tonight. The harvest is past. The summer has ended. And we are not saved. Can I apply that personally to the meeting today? The harvest is past. The summer has ended. And you are not saved. How fearful, men and women. How solemn it is to be in that condition. We want to plead with you to flee to Christ today. There's one other thing just about the farmer. And I want you to think of this carefully, men and women. Think of a soul before we close the meeting this morning. In the text it says, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." We don't know what was the cause of this man's death. The Bible doesn't tell us that. The Savior doesn't reveal those details to us. We don't know if it was an accident. Maybe something to do with all the building work that was going on in the farm. Something related to the gathering in of the harvest. We don't know whether it was an accident. We don't know whether it was an illness. We don't know how this farmer died physically. But one thing we do know, men and women, for sure, is this. How he died spiritually. Because he died unsaved. He died without Christ as a Savior. The fact is, this farmer's soul was lost. And I want you all today, especially if you know not Christ, I want you to ponder the reality of that. Your soul being lost forever. The words there, the two words in the middle of verse 17, no room. Those words sum up this farmer, this man at that particular time, the time of his death. No room. He had no room for his harvest. God had given him a bumper harvest. The best harvest he'd ever known. And there was no room. His barns and sheds weren't big enough to get the harvest in. So he had to launch out into a building program. Bring in the bulldozers. Pull down my barns. Build far greater barns. There was no room for his harvest. But far worse than that, men and women, when you think of this man's life, there was no room for the Lord. No room for the gospel. No room for salvation. We sometimes sing the words, room for business, room for pleasure, but for Christ, the crucified, not a place that he can enter in your heart for which he died. Those words describe this man, but perhaps to describe you too. Here's a man that was planning for time, planning for the future on earth, planning to live a comfortable life. But the all-important thing he had forgotten, because he had no plans for eternity. And men and women, that is the greatest, that is the ultimate folly. And that's why the Lord, remember, this isn't my estimation of this man, this is what God said of him. That's why the Lord called him a fool. Because he had no thought, no preparation, none whatsoever, as far as his soul and eternity was concerned. Many years ago in Dallas, in Texas, there was a famous pastor of the First Baptist Church, Dr. George Truett, ministered there in the gospel for over 40 years. On one occasion, he was invited out to the home of a very wealthy rancher and oil man. They had dinner together. And then the rancher took him up onto the roof of his house. He wanted to show off a little, wanted to boast somewhat. They're standing there on the roof, and the man said, "Dr. Truett, everything you can see is mine." Pointed in one direction, and the oil derricks were pumping oil out of the ground. Pointed in another direction, and there was the fields of golden grain waving in the wind and gleaming in the sun. Pointed in another direction to the hills and to the forests. and in the final direction to the meadows of grass with hundreds and hundreds of cattle. He said, "Dr. Truett, I came to this country 25 years ago. I had nothing. I have worked hard. I have saved hard. And now everything that you can see, as far as your eye can see in every direction, it's all mine." And he paused, waiting for words of praise from the preacher. But to his surprise, they never came. Dr. Truett tenderly stepped forward and put his hands on that man's shoulder, and pointing up to heaven, he asked him this question: "How much do you own in that direction, my friend?" Can I ask you today, are you like that man? Just taken up with this world. Taken up with things. Remember the warning of the Savior? A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. That's the age in which we live. People are taken up with things. Are you taken up with all that you have and all that you own here? But you have no thought of heaven, no thought of your soul, no thought of where you will be in eternity? I want to ask you, men and women, is it well with thee today? And we're not asking, is it well with you physically, well with you socially, well with you financially? And all of those things are important, and all of them have their place. We're asking you today something far more important. Is it well with you spiritually? Is it well with your soul? How is it with your soul today? Can you say just that simple little statement with confidence and with assurance that your soul's saved, and saved by the grace of God? You think of a girl getting engaged, been given an engagement ring by her boyfriend, by her fiancé. A ring that maybe cost him hundreds of pounds that he had saved up for a long time to buy. And she hardly gives the ring a glance, but she's more interested in the box. The little box that's lined inside with velvet. A dark little box. She says, "It's beautiful, it's cute, it's adorable. I'll treasure it all my life." You'd think the girl was mad, foolish. She had a wrong sense and set of values. And you would be right. But remember, men and women, you're just the same. And perhaps even worse. Because what you're taken up with today is the body. And you have no thought for your soul. Your soul, men and women, is priceless. The most valuable thing that you have. And I want you to consider today, how is it with your soul? How is it? Remember the Savior said, "What would it profit a man if he were to gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Sense in which this man, this farmer, gained the whole world. He's just, as far as business terms would be concerned, he's made a fortune. He couldn't really get it any better. What would it profit a man gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What a tragedy. What a tragedy that would be, men and women. And if you're not careful, that awful tragedy will happen to you too. Did you ever think that the first person ever to die in this world was a farmer? A man called Abel. Every child that was in the Sunday school this morning that goes through the child's catechism would be able to answer the question that Abel was a keeper of sheep. Abel died, maybe better, more accurate to say that he was murdered at the hand of his own brother, who was another farmer. Abel died and went to heaven, but when Cain died, he went to hell. The book of Jude tells us that he went out to the blackness of darkness forever. And I ask you, men and women, which will it be for you? You think of those two farmers, those two brothers, the first family that this world ever knew in the history of this world is a divided family in eternity. How solemn that is. A broken family circle. But as you think of those two farmers and think of those two brothers, which will it be for you when you die? Maybe today, maybe tonight. Will it be heaven or will it be hell? I tell you this as a finish. I mentioned the messages in the farming life. The last message that was printed went in about 5 or 6 weeks ago. I had written the message back at the beginning of August before I went on holiday. Because of the circumstances in the farming life over the summertime, it wasn't printed for about another 5 weeks thereafter. The title that I gave to that message was A Fatal Farm Accident. I didn't realize when I wrote that message and sent it off the circumstances that we would face in the church in Armagh. You may have seen the story in the newspapers of a lady from our congregation that was prominent in farming circles that was killed in an accident on the farm with a cow. A fatal farm accident. She's just 67 years of age. Well known in Simmental circles. Shown Simmental cattle for almost 40 years. The only lady ever to be the chairperson of the Simmental Breeders Association of Northern Ireland, held that position on two occasions. Showed at one time in 19 shows, not just here in Northern Ireland, but across the border in Southern Ireland too. Maybe 800 people came to her funeral, the biggest congregation that ever assembled in Armagh Free Presbyterian Church. Let me tell you, men and women, the story, the fatal farm accident, just quickly, that was found in the paper a month or so ago. You're all familiar, I'm sure, with the hymn, Stand Up for Jesus. Did you know that that hymn was written as a result of a fatal farm accident? Dudley Ting, the evangelist, holding meetings for young people in the YMCA hall in Philadelphia back in 1858. Hundreds of young people gathering. God was at work. Hundreds of those young people were getting saved and getting right with God. He owned a little farm outside Philadelphia, studying one morning. Thought he'd come out of the study for a little bit of air, just to clear his mind. They were threshing on the farm that day. He went over to pat one of the mules that was driving the threshing machine, and the sleeve of his coat got caught in the thresher and the cogs and was pulled in, and his arm was severely injured. So much so they had to amputate the arm to try and save his life. But his condition continued to deteriorate, and he died as a result of that injury. Just before he died, George Duffield, who was his associate, his assistant, was at his bedside, and he whispered these words, "George, go back to those young people in the YMCA hall in Philadelphia and tell them from me, tell them to stand up for Jesus." And George Duffield never forgot those words. It was the dying words of Dudley Hing that motivated and inspired George Duffield to write that great hymn, stand up for Jesus. And I want to say to you all today, young people, middle-aged, old, every believer in this meeting today, that's the message that God would bring to our hearts in this evil generation in which we live. What do we need to do every day we're here upon this earth? We need to stand up for Jesus, be faithful to Christ and to his cause. But I want you to think of George, or of Dudley Ting's death. Isn't it one of those great mysteries of providence? There was a man doing a great work for God in the midst of great blessing. Souls been saved. And God in his sovereignty saw fit to take him home to glory. It's a warning, men and women. Accidents. Every time there's an accident, farms can be dangerous places. There can often be accidents upon them. Building sites, other places of employment too. But every time there's an accident, my friend, it should warn you. Warn you to be careful of how you live. If you know the Lord, to commit yourself to him every day. But if you're not saved, Every time you hear of an accident, and especially when it results in death, it should impress upon your heart the fact of how quickly life can change. How so unexpectedly and suddenly life can end. And the need for you to be ready. Whatever comes, that you know that you're ready for death and ready for eternity. That you'll go to heaven and you'll go to be with Christ for all eternity. His soul. You need to think, men and women, don't let the devil deceive you today. Don't let him divert you into thinking about everything else under the sun, even as you sit in the house of God this morning, except for the salvation of your soul. Thou fool. Will God have to say that to you on the day you stand before him? Because you sat in this church for a lifetime and never came to Christ. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? May the Lord write his word today on every heart.